Well, thank you very much for having me here, and what a wonderful thing it is when people from around the world gather to pray. It is day, I think, 519 or something, and I was thinking, I was almost panicking, because which possible angle of prayer haven't you touched on yet? So I try another angle, and I hope it will be a blessing unto you. It is, after all, the Word of God that we're looking at, and it will not go without fulfilling its purpose. So I want to focus on the heart of the God to whom we pray, and I want to look how God's heart relates to his people from a text that has become very dear to me, especially in difficult times, and that's Isaiah 49 and verses 13 through 16. Isaiah 49, verses 13 through 16. This is God's holy word. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. God's holy word. Isaiah 49 is a chapter that first describes the Lord Jesus Christ as the light of the nations, as the Savior, who is the hope of the world. He talks about the power of his words. It describes him as the fulfillment of everything that God desires to see in his people. And he is described as one whose salvation goes beyond just one nation or beyond one tribe. And this light of the nation being described results in the rejoicing and the doxology of verse 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. And then the tone changes, and we hear the lament of Judah during their coming or prophesied exile. It says in verse 14, But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. And then comes the most wondrous glimpse that God allows us to take into his heart, to see his love for his covenant people. Verse 15, listen to these words that are so tender and so gracious. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. My dear friends, these are some of the most kind and loving and tender words of the whole Bible. So often we as individuals feel forsaken, whether we say it or not. Intellectually, we might know that we never are truly forsaken, but our emotions, if I may say so, our mind, our feelings speak another language. We might feel like this as individuals at times, and sometimes as a church, and if you look at the West as it is now, we might as a whole culture feel forsaken by God. And while we might be under God's chastisement, fatherly chastisement as individuals, or as the church in a region of the world or the whole world, he never stops loving his children. Rather the opposite. For example, in Hebrews chapter 12, we read, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise thou not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So this talks about chastening or feeling even abandoned by God, not as something out of the ordinary, but rather the opposite. It is a sign to being a child of God to go through hardship of whatever sort. Since we are not perfect, we need to be sanctified. And being sanctified will mean going through dark valleys at times. It seems like the church in the West has been going through a dark valley. But then we have this wonderful, wonderful promise from him that he will never stop loving his children. His heart will never stop going out to his children. And it says, even behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Now God is a spirit. He doesn't have a body like we do. And yet he uses the imagery of the palms of his hands. Now, if you remember, maybe in your childhood, you had to write things on the palms of your hands for school or for something else or a shopping list that you do not forget. This is a picture that God uses to say, I will never forget you. I'm never far away. Even if it feels like that, it is just me lovingly as a father chastising you. He has written us in the palms of his hands. And also keep in mind, he's using a sucking child, a mother that will never abandon her sucking child. Now, we all know that there are mothers who abandon their children, even in the worst of ways, by having them killed while they're still in their womb. Now, God takes note of this, and he says, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. This is the love that God has for his children, but more importantly, this is the love that God has for his church. Even now, as the church in the West seems to be in a somewhat decrepit state, it is still Christ's church, and God's love for it will not cease or not end. Now, how does this relate to our prayers? God has not stopped loving us as individual believers, and he will never abandon his church, the bride of Christ. But he loves us so much in Christ Jesus that he withholds his pleasant gifts at times if they are not good for us at a certain time or not good for us at all. And that's why we are encouraged in texts like the one before us and the one, for example, in Luke chapter 18. In the parable of the persistent widow, we are encouraged that we ought always to pray and not to faint. Because God never stops loving those who are called by his name in Jesus Christ, those who are praying to him day and night. Because can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, that God will never forget us. May God help us that we never forget this promise that we have in his word. Amen and amen.